Hebrews chapter 11. I had my hand up, Pastor, you didn't see me, but I've been praying for Oshin, and I never put it on the one of the five prayers there. And I just got an email from Leighton Kelly, I don't know if you got it, that he's in remission.
Really?
So that's wonderful.
Wow, amen.
So they have to continue the, something I've been praying about, and I'm sure many other people have been praying for Oshin, and now he's in remission. Oshin Leighton is Oshin Kelly is Leighton's son, his three-year-old son who has leukemia, and he's been going through treatments, and now he's in remission.
Wow.
So the treatments will have to continue, but he's in remission right now. So I'm praising the Lord too. That's an answer to prayer in my life. So believing prayer is what I want to preach on. So I just want to go ahead and ask God to bless the message, Father. We do need to just believe you.
Amen.
We just need to trust in you, Father. And I'm asking you, Father, now to help me and to preach, to say what you want to say, Lord, please, to us tonight. And open the hearts of everyone here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Real familiar verse of Scripture. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All week we've been learning a lot about prayer.
Amen.
And how and what and who and where. And I'll tell you, so far one of the best things that I've learned was at the men's prayer breakfast. I loved hearing those practical things about what not to do in prayer. And that would just bless my heart. It just kicked off the whole thing. And we need all that. And they're all helpful. But, you know, we know how to pray. We really do. We can go through all the mechanics of praying. And but the one thing that we can't be mechanical in is our faith.
Amen.
We cannot go into our prayer closet with the same old faith,
Amen.
The same mechanical faith, the same old believing that we go in with every day, and nothing changes. And we just need to believe God. We really need to learn how to just believe God. And faith is something that we have to exercise like our muscles, right, Jim? Amen. Now, if we exercise our faith will grow. And so the verse says we can't even please God without faith. We cannot please God without faith. In fact, in our very life, as we walk, the Christian walk, we can't please God. In our Christian walk. Well, we certainly can't please God when we pray without faith. It's the same thing. He that cometh to God. So he's talking about coming to God. He's talking about praying. He's talking about seeking God. And the verse says we cannot please God without faith. If we come to him unbelieving, we cannot please him. It is, what does the verse say? It's impossible. So don't think that we're pleasing God when we don't believe him when we pray about what we're asking him. When we come to God with any doubt in our heart, it is impossible for God to answer. He's not pleased with it. Now, as far as the verse says, it's impossible to please God without faith. I think when we pray, we need to have faith. Or God is displeased, and I don't think that prayer is going to get answered. You know, in verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated and should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How? By faith. Not only in his walk, I'm sure Enoch prayed. I'm sure he talked to God. And his prayer life was so full of faith that God said, come on home. And he never even tasted death. He just took him home. I want to have that kind of faith in my prayers. I want to believe God that much. In verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So your faith, your little faith, has to be in the faith. That faith that we have that fluctuates back and forth has to be in something that's absolutely unchangeable. That's God. That's the faith. That's what it talks about in Jude, contending for the faith. That never changes, the faith, when you read that in the Bible. But your faith and my faith goes up and down. Put your faith in the faith, and we can't go wrong. That's what Sarah did. In verse 9, it says, by faith he sojourned, talking about Abraham, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were heirs together of the same promise of going into the land. And look in verse 15. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Now, I'll tell you, when we pray, we need to make sure that our faith is in God and that we don't look back. If they would have looked back, they might have went back, but they kept trusting God. I like that verse. It says there, if they had been mindful of that country, if they'd have been thinking back to what used to be and where they could be, instead of going through the trials and tribulations, but no, they kept their eyes on God. I'm trying to teach you about really believing God, really trusting God, not just as you're walking as a Christian, but as you're bowing on your knees, believing that God is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he wants to answer your prayers, but you must believe him. You must believe that he is. We must trust him and depend upon him. You know, it's good when all you have is God. It's good when that's all you have. And the times in my life when all that I had was God, at least I felt that way, that's when God was greatest in my life. Amen. Coming to the mission field. When I got saved, I felt like all I had was God. And he saved me. Amen. With that little faith. Getting a call to go to the mission field, I felt like, if God doesn't do it, I'll never do this. And God, I trusted God. And he just does great things in your life when all you have is God. We come to God living a life of faith that expresses itself in believing prayer. We should carry that faith into our prayer closet and believe God. The Bible here says in verse 6, it says, it must believe that he is. That he really exists. That there really is a God. You say, I'm a Christian. I know you are. So am I. But sometimes we act as if there's no God. We really don't believe that God's on his throne. Look at just Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 2, just some verses. We need to believe that God really exists. In Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's there. Amen. He exists. He's real. Look at Psalm 93, verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Psalm 93, verse 2. Yeah, we need to just believe that God really exists. Now look in the New Testament at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I thought, Dan, how do you tell Christians to believe in God? I said, we just have to go to the Bible. Apparently God's showing us who he is. We need to believe that he is and not doubt. Sometimes we doubt that God is really there. We do. We doubt that God is really there. If we didn't doubt, our prayers would be answered. But we have little faith that God really cares about us sometimes, or that he's really there. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16 and verse 15, actually, he says, "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting." Amen. That's God. He's everlasting. He is our God, and he hath immortality. You say, so do I. Yes, you were given immortality. God has immortality. He is there. There is a God. And when you go into your prayer closet, he is there. We pray at times, though, as if he isn't there. We really don't believe that God is there, that he's not real somehow, because we doubt God's power. We can't doubt who God is, and we can't doubt the power that God has. Sometimes we just go through life as if God doesn't exist. And that's the way we act in our Christian life. We're doubting God. We don't believe that God is there. We live our lives that way sometime. You know, George Washington is the father of our country in the United States. He's the father of that country. That's what he's called. But I've never met him. And I've never seen him. I only see pictures of him. Or I read about him. So I know he exists. Okay? There's a lot of great men. Oscar Wilde. There's a lot of great Irish poets. James Joyce. Anybody ever seen James Joyce? Then how do you know he's alive? How do you know he ever lived? By his writings. You ever hear Spurgeon? How do you know he ever existed? By his writings. By what he wrote. Well, I know there's a God because he wrote a book. This is what we're going to have to anchor our soul in. To believe that God really exists. Even in our prayer closet. Don't pray as if there's no God. Because we do that sometimes. God is there. God is real. And we need to believe that. Believe that he is. He is who the Bible says that he is. He is nothing else. He is immutable. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And in verse 13, the Bible says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them that an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things by which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What I want to say is, he is who the Bible says he is. And there's two immutable things that I see there, that immutable means they never change. He is unchanging. He's first unchanging in his word. It says the immutability of his counsel. God's word. We have got to believe what God says when we go into our prayer closet. I mean, we have to believe the Bible. If we believe in God, then we believe in the Bible. God's word is settled in heaven, the Bible says. In Psalm 138, verse 2, he says he holds his word, magnifies it above his own name. So the word of God is immutable and unchanging. There's thousands of promises in the word of God that we can anchor our prayers to. God wants us to pray believing him that he'll answer those promises. We can claim those promises. He gives us warnings to heed and be careful because he tells us that there's results to everything that we do. But his counsel in verse 17, it says, to show the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, the unchangingness of what he says. We need to believe what the word of God says. Let me show you one person in Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. The Bible says, for I know him. This is God speaking. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. I think Abraham had a prayer life with God, and God says, I know him. You see, I know him. Abraham believed God, and God was going to bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of. Every promise was going to come true, and Abraham believed God. God will bless Abraham. Why? Because he believed him. And we have to believe God the same way. Every promise in the book is ours, and we need to believe him. So if I'm to believe, don't I have to follow up on my word? In order for you to believe me, and trust in me, I make an oath or I make a promise, I would have to follow through. God has followed through on every promise in the book. Why don't we claim those promises? Why don't we pray those promises in our prayers? Believing God, he has to answer. It's his word. It's his oath to us. The other immutable thing is his character. He confirmed it by an oath. You see in verse 13, for when God, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Verse 14 says, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So, if you go into a court of law, and you get ready to, you have to go on the stand, and you have to testify, they put a Bible before you. Swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Yes, I do. All right, so they put a Bible there. Why? Because you're swearing upon something greater than yourself, the Bible. And that confirms it, okay? That's what brings to an end the oath. It confirms the oath. okay? You've sworn of something greater than yourself. Well, there's nothing greater than God. So he had to swear by himself when he blessed Abraham after he offered his son Isaac on the altar. He said, surely I will bless thee. I swear by myself. He swore by himself. He makes an oath. What I'm saying is we can trust God. God not only finds it's impossible for him to lie, it says in the verse, it says he cannot lie in Titus 1:2. I'm trying to get us to see that we can believe God and every promise that God will always do what God says he will do. And we can trust him. We've got to learn to believe him. God is absolutely pure and perfect in his nature. You ought to read Psalm 99. Over and over it says, for he is holy. He is holy. And he always does what is just and exactly what is right. So we need to trust God. We need to believe that he is. And we need to believe who the Bible says he is in his word and in his character. These are two immutable things that will never change. But chapter 11, turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. If we're going to believe God, if we're going to believe that he tells us the truth, that he makes an oath with us and that he never lies, he always comes through on his promises. If we believe that God is and he answers anything that we ask according to his word, then why don't we ask those things? Because we must believe that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That's what the verse says in Hebrews chapter 11. We need to put the faith now, the believing, into action and not worry and not be doubting God, but believing that God is going to answer that prayer. Look in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21. You know, to diligently seek something is to be constantly seeking after God. Not off and on, not hit and miss, because that's usually the way our prayer life is. To diligently seek someone is to be a steady, constant effort of trying to meet with God every day. Now, how many of us are really, truly, constantly seeking after God every day in believing prayer? We're not doing it. And that's why we pray such little prayers. And that's why we have so many prayers that are not answered, because we're not diligently seeking after God. In Matthew 21 and verse 18, Jesus has just come out of the temple. He made this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Then he goes and lodges in Bethany, the city Bethany. And then in verse 18, it says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now I wonder, the disciples marveled. They had already seen Christ do so many wonderful things, healings. Blind men received their sight, feeding of the 5,000. Why were they so marveled at the fig tree withering away? Why are we so marveled that God won't answer our own prayers? Why do we doubt God? Because that's exactly what Jesus said. If you have faith and doubt not, why did they marvel at something so simple to make a fig tree wither? Jesus had already done so many things because they doubted. They were amazed that it happened. Why are we so amazed that God won't answer our prayers for things that he tells us in his word he wants to do and he will do? It's his will. But we doubt. The problem is never with God. It is always with us. We need to pray believing prayers. I'm still trying to wrap my own heart and mind around this, because I want to believe, God, you're going to do what you said you will do. I want to believe it. I don't want to doubt. God is not hit and miss and on and off. We are. Not God. Do you doubt God's ability in your prayers? Do you hesitate praying a prayer that's impossible? Pastor's been asking us to get impossible prayers, but we hesitate. He can't move that mountain. God can move any mountain if it's his will. God can move any mountain. God moves the mountain, not us. As we said before, when the angel came and got Peter out of prison, it was prayer that brought the angel, you see. All right? The angel got Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that got the angel into the prison, you see. So we need to pray impossible prayers. But we pray doubting, you see. We're unsettled in our heart. We're wavering. As it says in James, if you want to turn there, James chapter 1 and in verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, God doesn't waver, but we pray as if God does. But it's our own heart that's wavering. It's our own heart that's uncertain. It's our own heart that's doubting. It's our own heart that's marveled at things God's already done in your life. God's already answered wonderful, amazing prayers in our life, but we still doubt him, just like the disciples. We still marvel that he would do something like that again. The Bible says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We have a mind, 1 minute our mind's this way, then our mind's that way. And a double-minded man, it says in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, you're not trusting God completely because something else has got a hold of your heart. We need to get our hearts right with God. And we'll have a single-mindedness in our prayers. And be able to believe God. And we'll be able to have an anchor in prayer. Real, true faith. And not waver back and forth. And doubt. Look, there's a lot of things on those prayer cards I want to see answered. And I want to have real believing. I want to trust God. I don't want to have any doubt in my mind that he's not going to do something. That he's going to answer that prayer. Do you really have faith? Do you really believe God? Are you confident in him? Confidence in prayer. His truth and his promises. You know, the story goes of a man that put a wire across from one side of the Grand Canyon to the other. And some of these guys can do this. They walk between buildings and they walk across skyscrapers and they put the wire out there and they have all the guy wires and then they get out there with that pole. Some of them don't even use a pole. And they slide along that wire. I mean, there's no net under them. But they're tightrope walkers. And they can walk right out there. And this one man walked all the way across the one side, and then he walked all the way back. And the people on the other side said, unbelievable. I can't believe he did that. And the one guy said, I can believe it. I watched it. This guy could do it again. And the man got a wheelbarrow. And the tightrope walker, and he put it on the tightrope, and he says, I'm going to push the wheelbarrow across. Do you believe I can do it? And the man said, I know you can do it. I just watched you walk across it. He said, get in. I don't believe you that much. That's us. Amen. God says, why don't you get in?
Amen.
But we're afraid, see? Look, if God's walking on the tightrope, he'll never let us go.
Right.
He'll have the wheelbarrow. You know, he's got full control of it. Get in the wheelbarrow. Don't be afraid to trust God. God will never let you down. It's our doubting that stops God from doing great things in our life. How many times did he say in the Bible there about he wanted to do great and mighty works in these cities, but because of their unbelief? He couldn't. That's a shame because of our unbelief. These are pictures of us in the Bible that we doubt what God can do in our lives and those prayers he can answer. Mountain moving prayer means God moves the mountain, not you. You say, God really can move a mountain? Absolutely can move a mountain. He can move a mountain. If we trust in God, he will move away all the impossibilities, all the mountains in our life, and he'll accomplish his will for us. See, that's the thing. What's the mountain in your life? If it's his will, it's gone. He'll remove that impossibility, no matter what that is in your life. And it takes two ingredients. It has to be God's will, and do you have faith? Do you believe him? Do you believe? Because if it's his will, he will move the mountain.
Amen.
Because it's his will. It's nothing for God to take away what you think is impossible and what I think is impossible. God, nothing's impossible.
Amen.
You see? It's us believing that this is his will. I see it in his word. He wants my son saved. He's going to save him. It won't be God's fault, and I don't want it to be my fault. If that man turns away with his own will, it won't be God's fault, and it won't be my fault.
Amen.
God wants to move the mountains. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 7, it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 9 says, or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, see, a lot of times we stop there. The paragraph continues. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And that's where the translators put the paragraph marks. So now that's the end of the thought, you see. There's the thought. Asking and believing. Just ask for your needs to be met. God answers prayers. God meets our needs. He said, if you being evil give good things to your children, do you think if your child says, he comes up and says, Daddy, I need new shoes. I know you need new shoes, and I'm going to get you new shoes. I knew you needed new shoes. God knows we need new shoes. God's waiting for us to ask and believe that he'll give us those things that we need. Do you see? Do you not do that for your own children or for other people? Do you not get things for other people? When you see a need, you can meet that need. God meets the needs in our lives. We just need to trust him. So we trust God for the impossibilities. And then we ask and we believe. We're just asking for our needs to be met. We ask for good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. It comes down from God. God will answer, but sometimes we just don't like the answers. We don't like the way God answers. But remember what was preached already. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. If we have to pray into the will of God. God has no other choice but to answer. It's his will. We just need to believe him and trust that he will answer that prayer. His will. Because we don't always know what is best, we ought to leave it up to God. Amen. Ask for his will to be done in our life. You see? God is always right. So sometimes God just doesn't answer the way we like. But God uses other people to meet our needs. Look, you see that verse 12 there? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. All right? God wants to use us to bless others. Now look, God uses other people in our life to meet our needs. Even a job that you get, God is using some, could be an unsaved person. Maybe your application's on the bottom. God just has them bring it right to the top. And you get that job. You don't think God can do that? He does. Amen. And that's how you got the job, because he used somebody else. God doesn't float the job down on the application down on the person's desk. It's not the way God works. He uses other people to bless us. And he uses us to bless others. It's a positive action on our part to do something for someone else. When you do that, when you see a need and you meet it, because God's using you to meet what that person thought was impossible in their life. That's what the verse is saying. God works through people to bless us. It's something, maybe you want to buy a house. You think, I'll never get that house. They'll never give me that loan. And all of a sudden the bank calls up and says, you got it. How did that happen? That's impossible. And it gives, how about a loved one that needs to be saved? And you're praying, and God sends somebody else to talk to him. All of a sudden, there's a preacher knocking on his door, telling him about Jesus. How's that happen? God's using other people to bless and meet those what we believe to be impossible prayers. God wants to use you to meet someone else's need, you see. Look in Proverbs 22. This means a lot to me, because I want to keep my eyes open now and my heart tender to how God wants to use me to meet a prayer that somebody's been praying for a long time. And then I do something, not knowing how God is just using me. And they said, well, I've been praying for 2 years for that to happen, for my aunt to get saved. And you just happen to knock on their door. You know, God's just using people to answer our prayers. In Proverbs 22 and in verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Just the idea of being blessed, having a bountiful eye, seeing how you can meet other people's needs. God uses that. God uses regular people, his people, sometimes unsaved people, to do impossible things in our lives. Keep your eyes open to see how you can meet a need. In Mark chapter 11, just have a few more verses. Mark chapter 11. I am still asking God to teach me how to pray. I want to learn how to pray a believing prayer. Really, fully, wholly trusting God. Not just on and off, not hit and miss. In Mark chapter 11, you read pretty much the same story in verse 12, so I won't read all that about the fig tree and when he goes in and scourges the temple. But in verse 20, look at verse 20, he says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Why do you believe that you receive them and you shall have them? Because you're praying, believing. You're not doubting. When you really believe it. And you're going to get it because you're wholly believing and not doubting in your heart. You see? And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So, again, not doubting. Believing in the authority of the Word of God. But what I wanted to get to is we also need to be at peace with other people. We need to have our relationships right with other people. As was already preached, we can't ask God for things when we're holding aught against a brother or we have an unforgiving spirit about ourselves. We need to fix any broken relationship that we can think of in our life. Fix it. Fix it tonight if you have to. Get on the phone and call somebody. I don't care if you have to Skype them. Whatever you have to do, get it fixed. Don't pillow your head tonight. Expect God to answer your prayers in the morning when you have aught against someone. Whatever it is, get it straightened out. Go to that person. Don't have an unforgiving spirit. You may have an unforgiving spirit against your spouse, children, friends. God's not going to answer. If we do get that straightened out and we pray believing prayers, God will answer. God will answer. I want to kind of finish up in Ezra. Ezra chapter 9, maybe one of the scripture, but the thought is going to end here just about the fact that we have a sure hope. In Ezra chapter 9, you find Nehemiah. You find the Psalms, go to the left a few books. You'll find Ezra chapter 9 and verse 5. Ezra is broken and repenting of the sins of Israel, how they've mingled themselves with the other people, the lands. And in verse 5 he says, "And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment, my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread up my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens." Where is the shame today for the sin in our lives? How come we can't blush when we do things that offend a holy God? Why do we act as if it's not bothering God? We are not going to get any answers to prayer till we start feeling some shame and confessing the sin that's in our lives that's hindering us from having answered prayer. Just drop down to verse 8. "And now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." You know, this scripture is talking about Israel's return from captivity. And the remnant now has returned into the land. And Ezra is kind of saying, we've staked out our place again in God's holy place. We're back in the land. And we've driven our tent pegs back down into this land. And God's given it back to us. They drove in the tent pegs. There's a story in Judges chapter 4 about Jael who puts a tent peg right through Sisera's head. So those tent pegs were sure. When you drove the tent peg in, you were holding down the tent. It was sure. It wasn't going to move. He's talking about a nail in his holy place. They had hope now again in the land. Well, we have hope too. We have hope in prayer. you see. We have a nail in his holy place. It's called believing prayer. We can enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can drive a tent peg in if you want. It's a nail in his holy place that if we pray believing prayers, God will answer our prayers. You can be sure to get an answer to your prayer. We as Christians have hope. We have hope. We have a sure hope in Christ. He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And Kevin talked about Jeremiah 29, about seeking and finding the Lord, seeking his face, you see. He says, I will be found of you. The Lord will perform his word. God desires what's best of us. He will give us, as it says in Jeremiah, that expected end. He'll answer our prayers or give us peace. He'll give us freedom from the sin that's captivated us and holds us in bondage. We should realize that God's goodness is toward us. We should seek him. Not what he can give us. Just seek him in prayer. Seek his face. Ask and he will hear. But do it with all your heart, you see. Sincerely want to be in his presence. There's a hope for us tonight. There's a hope for impossible things to come true in our life. You know, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we have the petitions that we desired of him. But look in first in Hebrews 6:19, the last verse, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Look what it says. We have a hope. We have a nail in his holy place. Something sure that we can count on. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We go within the veil. We go into the Holy of Holies in prayer. We meet with God. We have a nail in this holy place. And you can hang your lost loved ones on that nail in the holy place of believing prayer. God will answer those prayers. God can save our lost loved ones. God can get our wayward children back into the home. Or he can get them going to church again. That's what I'm praying for. He can give you a good steady job. Just hang it on the nail in the sure place. We have hope. We have an anchor. We can fulfill the will of God. We can restore broken families. We can be sure that God's coming back again, can't we? Amen. He says it in his word. Then we can be sure he'll answer everything that we ask if we ask according to his will. He will hear us. We just need to, believe him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's just believe God. Amen. That he's there and he lives and he's on his throne. Believe in his word and his spotless character, his unchangingness. Believe he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, and that we have a sure hope he will answer our prayers. Amen. Amen. All right.